101.3 FM Stereo. My radio station, your radio station, our radio station, the voice of the Cape.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum and a very good evening. Just gone 17 minutes past 8. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and chat to the past and present sports stars as well. I'm your host, Feroz Sheikh, and my tech tonight is Nazim Peterson. We're talking football and cricket tonight. My guest is the former Batswood defender and Western Province fast bowler, Vinnie Barnes. But before I chat to Vinnie, let's catch up with the latest news coming through from today. There was a doubleheader in the IPL today. The Rajasthan Royals beat the Sun Rises Hyderabad by 5 wickets in the first match. There was a top of the table clash in the second game. That one going to the Mumbai Indians. They beat the Delhi Daredevils by 5 wickets. Rafael Nadal making history. He equaled Roger Federer's record of 20 Grand Slams after beating Novak Djokovic 6-love, 6-2 and a 7-5. Pretty easy win there in the end. Also his 13th French Open title. Lewis Hamilton also equaled Michael Schumacher's record of 91 Grand Prix wins after winning the Eiffel Grand Prix. Bafana, well, they lost 2-1 to Zambia in an international friendly match at the Royal Bafokeng Stadium. In some results from the Nations League, Netherlands and Bosnia-Herzegovina, they played to a goalless draw in League A Group 1. In League A Group 2, England beat Belgium there 2-1, and the match between France and Portugal gets underway later on at about 8:45. And the Bledisloe Cup match between New Zealand and Australia ended at 16-all. Time now to say a very good evening to Vinnie Barnes. Thanks for chatting to me tonight on Voice of the Cape.
Thanks very much, Feroz, and good evening, listeners.
Now, you can join the conversation as well. You can call 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp 072-238-0712 for any comments or questions there. Now, Vinnie, let's start off with your football career first. Was Batswood the only team you played for from junior level to seniors to the pro ranks?
Yeah, I grew up in a Batswood home, and I was always going to play for Batswood, and Batswood being the only football club that I played for throughout my life.
Now, we had some Batswood players as well in Suri previously, Adib Abrams, Roger Links. There's been comments coming through from some of the listeners. I think one in particular, and I need to ask this. He apparently played for Clarewood. Now, was Clarewood one of the rivals during your amateur days? Apparently, Clarewood gave you guys quite a run for your money.
Who's Clarewood?
Okay, so that answers that.
Yeah, no, Clarewood was a in amateur day, Clarewood was one of the top sides, and he had some very good players. Mm. They gave us some tough games.
Now, Batswood was rather a late entry into the FPL, but you guys dominated from the get-go, winning the treble in 1989. That was an awesome achievement for first-timers into the Federation. Just a pity you guys came in so late.
Yeah, it was never... I'm not sure, it wasn't a thought, really, until we lost in the playoffs. It meant that we had to go and play out of the Super League and play football back at the district, you know, domestically. And it was that then we felt that, you know, we could play pro and sort of research that and got some more information on it and eventually turned pro. And yeah, look, I mean, I played 2 years for the pro side, and not a bad wall of 5 trophies, so triple and the treble and the double the following year.
Yeah, so, no, fantastic. You guys, like I said, you guys dominated. Well, most of the Cape teams did dominate in the Federation. Go back from Glenville, Glendine, Cape Town Spurs, Santos, and of course, Batswood as well. Besides winning those trophies, now, can you share some of your experiences? Firstly, playing with your teammates and then other teams and the atmosphere at the various grounds you played at in the Federation.
Yeah, to me, you know, I never gave playing pro footballer much of a thought. You know, playing with my Batswood mates, I was fortunate to play with an amazing football team in the 80s, and I was also playing cricket. So pro football was not really part of my thoughts until we turned pro as a club. Yeah, and look, it was one of my favourite grounds is obviously Athlone Stadium, which was, became pretty much our home ground as an amateur club and as a professional club. But like I said, it was really only 2 years for me, and once Unity came about in 91, 92, cricket now became my life. So I went back to playing amateur football again, but cricket had now taken over.
Now, apparently you guys as Batswood were trendsetters back in the days, apparently from amateur days, because apparently you guys used to train about 4 days a week. You know, you were neatly attired, tracksuits, blazers and stuff like that. That must have been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we took a lot of pride in the way we looked, and our motto is we lead, others follow, and we want to. We just set the trend, and as you said, looked good. Besides playing good football, we came to games, big games, with our suits on, our blazers and our ties, and it looks smart, you know, and sometimes intimidating to your opposition.
No, fantastic. Now, with the unification upon us, Batswood were one of the teams left out of the selected teams that would eventually go on to play in the NSL. Did you stay with that team during that period where they almost won promotion to the NSL and, of course, had to move back in the amateur ranks?
No, I left at the end of the second year. I played 2 years. We won a treble that year, and the following year we won the 2 knockout trophies. And that was me. That was the end. Cricket had become unified, and I was still playing provincial cricket. So before we could play 6 months and 6 months, football and cricket, but this was no longer the case. And professional football was now going to be, obviously I was quite heavily involved in cricket and was still playing, and there was going to be a massive clash. So, you know, football, although it was my passion, had to take the back seat because I was coaching as well. Mm. I was quite heavily involved in coaching cricket at that level, though I was still playing.
You know, I must ask, obviously I think back in the day it was different because football was winter season and cricket was in the summer, unlike now where it normally overlaps. And if you train 4 days a week and then obviously cricket, you spend a lot of time on the field.
We did. I think it was Roger and Adib spoke about the amount of time she practices. True. I mean, we practice almost every night. And I was probably the good thing about that is that it kept me fit as a cricketer. I mean, we might think you're playing football, but how did it help your bowling? It was, to me, fast bowling, it's about your core and your legs. The upper body is fair enough. Some people prefer being strong at the top, some people. I was quite lean, so but I could bowl fast. But cricket, I mean, really, my football training was, kept me fit, and that's all I did. Really, I didn't do anything spectacular. I didn't go to gym. I haven't set a foot in the gym. I better keep quiet and not say anything.
Now you'll be remembered by many though as that fearsome fast bowler that terrorized batsmen for Western Province from the late 70s to unification, maybe just after that as well. But before we get into that, I must ask, did you always want to bowl fast? Were you always, you know, wanting to be a fast bowler? What made you just... You know, the reason why I ask that is many of the guys I've chatted to, most of them were, of course, footballers, but they ended up playing in positions that they didn't start off initially. So that's why I'm asking you, were you always a fast bowler? Did you always want to run in and bang that ball in?
Yeah. all I wanted to do was, as a fast bowler, was to bowl as fast as I could. And I'm pretty... You know, I'm grateful that coaches or people who got involved in my career or people who captained me never stopped me from doing that. It's easy these days with coaching, and it happens quite often where, you know, the coaches try to ensure that the players got more control and then try and bowl fast. It's difficult to coach people to bowl fast if you don't have it naturally. It's a lot easier to control somebody who's wayward and... So I get excited about people. As a bowling coach, I get very excited about people who can bowl fast, even if they're playing against me. I used to watch, you know, when I was with the Proteas and Shoaib Akhtar and Brett Lee and these guys bowl to our batters. Mm. It still used to excite me to see these guys run in. So all I wanted to do was to bowl as fast as I can. And and destroy a batsman.
Now, before we get into your provincial career, talk to us about some of the teams you played for. You mentioned Montrose, and talk to us about some of the teams you played for before we get into your days with Western Province.
Yeah, so I started with Victoria Cricket Club. Adib Aaron actually introduced me to he saw my potential in the street battles, and so decided to introduce me to. I didn't think much about playing club cricket. All I wanted to do was play football, and Adib took me to the Victoria Cricket Club where he was playing, and that's where it started. And it was quite late in. I was 13 years old when I started playing, and probably played with. It's my football career sort of mirrors my cricket career, because I got to the age of 16 and I was playing first team, so it was football and cricket. And so that was with Victoria. A lot of the gentlemen in the change room when I got into the first team at Victoria, I didn't know who they were, and some of them were like heroes, you know, legends in the game. And so that was my introduction. For the following year, at the age of 17, I think I made my provincial debut, which was even more daunting, sitting in a change room with real heroes now. I mean, these are legends, the Majid brothers, the Prema Isaacs, you know, Lefty Adams, and these guys. And now I'm sitting in a change room with these guys who I've only just read about and seen and admired. And it's the same. It's the same with my football career, which was the same. I mean, as a 16-year-old, I played centre back most of my life, and got hauled into the first team as a 16-year-old, and then played right back. I couldn't get back into the centre back position because there was very good centre backs over the years with Batsun. And so as a youngster, that was my introduction to the two sports. Cricket, early 80s, I moved to Montrose. Middle of the 80s, I went to Transvaal for 2 years. And in that 2 years, I played cricket overseas as well. So I missed 2 years of football back here. And but that was two very important years for me, playing cricket overseas, getting an opportunity to do that, and getting qualified as a coach as well.
Yeah. No, fantastic. Let's look at some of your stats now for Western Province. 323 wickets in 68 matches, 24 five-wicket hauls, 10 wickets in a match on 6 occasions, best bowling of 9 for 46 against Natal. You loved bowling against Natal at an average of 11.95. You were the leading wicket-taker in the history of the Hour Bowl and was the leading wicket-taker on 3 occasions. 41 wickets, 82-83, joint top wicket-taker, 85-86, with Trevor Leroux. I think he was gone to Natal at the time. Jack Manock, Transvaal, with 36 wickets, and 86-87 with 42 wickets. Those are some brilliant statistics there. Do you really pay attention to the statistics, or
it's actually embarrassing? I coach a game, and when I talk to the. When we get an academy intake or the 19 team, and the coaches introduce me and they say, go and Google him, it's embarrassing, you know, because, you know, today it's, I mean, 11 point, what do you say? What is it?
11.95.
It's ridiculous, actually.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's not over one or two games, you know, it's over, 14, 15 seasons.
I'm sort of talking to cricketers about benchmarks, about international benchmarks and provincial benchmarks and franchise benchmarks. I've been talking about 22, an average of 22, and here it's 11.6. But not, look, I mean, I never ever took note of stats. It wasn't really something I, you know, sort of would notice. I mean, getting the most wickets at the end of the season and you get an award for it, and it's, oh, okay, wow, I didn't really know it. Took 42 wickets, but... it's, you know, now that they've sort of put all these stats together, it's quite crazy, actually, the stats.
Now, I also Googled you, I must be honest, and Wikipedia says that you were a fast bowler with a slinging action. I don't know if that's correct. I never got to see you. I was much younger, but we heard about you. But is that a correct description of your action? If correct, was that where the pace really came from?
Yeah, no, it was. It was really only in the latter stages of my career where... you know, when I, after I'd gone a couple of games, I mean, a couple of seasons to India, I mean, England, where I'd focus, I'd now become a professional cricketer at the club, and I had to bowl a serious amount of overs. So, and with the conditions in England, I worked quite hard on my action again, and to ensure that I could do a lot more with the ball than what I'd done before. All I wanted to do was bowl fast, but now I wanted to bowl, I wanted to swing. Mm-hmm. I swing a ball, had the skills to bowl at any stage in the game, whether it be up front with a new ball or later stages with the older ball. So that's where I focus quite a lot on my. And then I wanted to now become the best bowler.
Now, you said you had that few seasons in England. That was in the mid-80s, you said. Which club in England did you have, you know, those two seasons with?
I played for a club called Fergusley in Scotland. Mm. I had an opportunity to play in the Lancashire League, but it fell through. There were a number of years where I was promised, you know, this was going to happen and that's going to happen, and it didn't happen. So this actually happened because of the club I was playing for in Actonville, Benoni. The president of the club basically came up to me and said, are you keen to go and play overseas? And that's, you know, the club started helping me with funds and stuff like that, and got the contacts, and Barney Mohammed and I went across and played in Scotland. And the first year when I got the nobody knew who I was, and that was quite good. So there's no pressure. And by the end of the season, it was, you're coming back. We've got a contract for you. So the following year, I went back and I took Nazim White and Samsiri Ahmed with me. They went to play in the same area with me. And but the important thing for me was to get qualified as a coach and spend 2 years doing that in England.
Now, I wanted to ask, because coming from the board side of cricket, you know, was it very difficult to get in to playing club cricket in England? Because I'm not sure, like you said, they didn't know who you guys were. I don't think they knew that there was board cricket played in South Africa, because it was South African Cricket Union at the time that was the more popular, if I could say, type of cricket or union. How were you received in England?
Yeah, so,
and Scotland?
I mean, so I got to Scotland. I mean, I got out of a train, and I had to meet somebody at the train station after getting a train from London to Glasgow, and I got out and I stood at the station there and were looking for somebody who looks familiar, and nobody looks familiar. And this guy came up to me and asked me if I'm Vincent, and I said yes. So I got introduced to the club that same day, and nobody knew who I was. And by the end of, in fact, I first practiced the next day, it was snowing, so it wasn't great. But, you know, and then I started playing, played a couple of seasons, pre-season friendlies, and I could see, he can bowl a bit. And then as the season got on, it became, you know, pro, we need 25 good overs from you today. So, but you're right, it wasn't. I mean, you know, the union cricketers obviously got the exposure. We didn't. And for that reason, there wasn't, you know, players didn't play in the counties. They were talking to me about playing county seconds and possibly playing in a county, but it never happened, which was disappointing. So, I owe so much to, you know, the guys in Transvaal and my club in Actonville who ensured that I, you know, I can go and play overseas.
Mm. Well, that is fantastic. Now, there's been many stories, and we spoke about that off air. I just need to correct the one year going around as to how quick you really were. Well, I remember as a teen playing at Seripat Road, which I'm sure you as well, because Western Province played there many games. When Natal were playing Province, and the most popular question going around was, is Vinny in the team? Because the guys were actually petrified of you, Vinny. And then another one was that, well, I got the names wrong. You mentioned Stanley Govender. Where you hit him on the head. Just talk to us about some of those stories, you know. It's nice to just reminisce about those things. It's just to give an idea of really how fast you were and how dangerous you were as well at the same time.
It's actually a terrible story about Stan. But Stan is a very good friend of mine. And I was actually playing for Transvaal at the time. We played at Lynn Stadium. And I'd bounced him and meet him, and he had a helmet on, but he didn't have the grid in front. He just had a two perspex ear protections or temple protections, and so I hit him under the helmet, and he had to go to hospital. 12 stitches This is embarrassing. You're embarrassing me, Firoz. Yeah, everyone thinks that I'm this kind-hearted gentleman. And but anyway, so the game was sort of coming. It was getting close. Look, they were 8 down. Mustafa Khan, the captain, was batting, and Wathile came back from hospital. So he's sitting on the side of the field. I was sort of fielding close to him. I walked across to him to say, "Stan, how are you doing?" And 12 stitches in my forehead. And then Mustafa Khan, it started to look like it was going to get dark. So and we couldn't actually get Mustafa out. He was batting well, and we were bowling our spinners because, you know, the bad light and stuff like that. So Mustafa Khan then said to Stan, you know, "Couldn't pat up, you know." And Stan, I mean, his one eye was closed, and I said, "Stan, are you crazy?" Stan said, I'm not batting up." So Mustafa Khan actually walked right up to him and said to him, "You will bat up," which he did. So he's Stan sitting on the side of the field with his pads on, and I walked up to him and said, "Stan, if you come on this field, I'm going to finish you off." But I didn't mean that. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to do that. But he walked past me. They lost the 8th wicket, the 9th wicket, and Stan walked one past me, and he said to me, "Do me a favor," and he just bowled straight to the stumps, which I did, and knocked his stumps out the ground. I mean, it was crazy, but it's... Yeah, that's a horrible story.
Now, you played in a very dominant Western Province team. In fact, Province won the Howard Bowl on every occasion from the 79-80 season until unification, except for two seasons, 84-85 and 85-86, when Eastern Province won that. So talk to us about some of the players you played with in that Province team. You mentioned a few guys at club. I'm sure they would have been similar into the Western. Talk to us about some of those players that you played with.
Yeah, look, I mean, always been a very strong Western Province, always been very strong. From the time I made my debut, I mean, the changing room was filled with unbelievable cricketers. I mentioned them, the two Majid brothers, Ibrahim Isaac. Ibrahim Isaac was a better wicketkeeper. Brusty Majid, Charlie Vanskalkwyk. These are all guys, you know, that I had admired. And from that time, it was a very strong side. I made my debut against Eastern Province, in fact, and we won. I got dropped. Because I was told, I remember, Lefty Adams was the manager, captain, and said to me, "Lighty, you got 3 overs, so to take a wicket." And then after 3 overs, 0 for 6, he took me off. So I got dropped after that. Didn't play again, and I played in the B side. And then the following year, I got back in the side, and well, that continued playing after that. But over the years, right up to Unity, it was always very strong. I mean, even at the Unity, guys like Faik Davis, Nazim White, Miley Pardeen, Tion Kemp, you know, these guys, Jack Manock was playing for Western Province also. I mean, these guys were phenomenal cricketers. And it's a pity that at Unity, look, Unity came a bit too late for me. Yeah. I always knew that was going to happen. But for a lot of these guys, it's a pity that they didn't get the opportunity to play, you know, in the provincial setup and show what how good they really were. You know, it seemed like they had to be extra special, and when they were extra special.
Yeah. Vincent, we're just going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Vinnie Vance.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. Just gone 20 to 9. You're listening to Inside Sport. My guest tonight is the former Western Province fast bowler and a batsman defender, Vinnie Vance. I just got a message coming through from Nasser Antulev, and he says, "Salams, please convey my regards to Vinnie Vance, ex-Montrose and Western Province cricketer." Remember Nasser Antulev?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, we were chatting about some of the players you played in the Province team. There must be some other players from the opposition that also gave you a hard time as well. I'm sure there were a few that you never really knocked over easily. Who were some of these guys? Can you remember some of these guys?
Yeah, when I started playing, there were certain people I actually admired. Besides, you know, Western Province players. Jeff France was a fast bowler from EP who I absolutely admired, loved watching him bowl. And for a while I tried to actually copy him, which I couldn't. But, you know, they were a very, very strong side. Harun Logart was he was a very good cricketer. And in fact, I found him to be one of my toughest opponents. You know, he was a dogged batsman, left-hander, bowl beautiful swing as well, and he was a very good cricketer. And over the years, you know, like I said, in the EP side, there were the number Stephen Dry was also a fast bowler, opened the bowling with Jeff Franz. Kaya Majola, the late Kaya Majola, Garth Karambi, you know, these guys are fantastic cricketers. These are the guys that me as a young fast bowler with Western Province playing against a lot of these guys. And when they did win our bowl, you know, these were the guys that were helping them because they were always a very strong side.
No, fantastic. And you moved to Transvaal 85, 86. You said 2 seasons you were there. Why the move up to the north?
It was, you know, I was sort of, I actually can't remember why. I just remember Barney Muhammad who had moved to Transvaal asking me one day, would you consider coming to play in for a club in Transvaal and help me and you coach in Transvaal? So I thought, wow, well, you know, it's not a bad idea, but I had to give it some thought. You know, my wife was working back here, so I mean, I couldn't just move. So I gave it some thought, and eventually, you know, I moved and linked up. I had no idea where I was going. Linked up with Actonville Spurs in Benoni, and had an absolutely wonderful time there. Came there, saw the club. It was really a couple of teams, and we started a junior section, and I basically started this junior section because whenever we practiced cricket, the field was full of footballers. So the field is, there's footballers playing, I mean, there's football games going on all over. And I actually got all these coaches and asked them, do you guys not be interested in playing cricket? Because we had no junior section. And they said, okay, fine. And I said, well, look, let's introduce you to cricket, like six-a-side competition where you just come and have fun. And that's where junior section started. I mean, I went to their function, I think it was a 40th anniversary last year, and you know, the club has grown so much. And so that's where it started. I spent a couple of years there and then came back.
Fantastic. And, of course, I need to ask you, because with the Transvaal, I know Jack Munnock was he topped the bowling, the wicket-taking, you know, the averages and the number of wickets on quite a few occasions. How was Jack Munnock in terms of being a fast bowler?
Jack was complete opposite of me. I mean, Jack was obviously a lot taller than me. Big in-swing, I swung a ball away from a right-hander. He swung a ball back in. Unbelievable cricket. And the first game I actually played, when I met this guy, he was actually cleaning us up. Jack was on like 6 for 21 or something, and we were in trouble, real, real trouble. Myself and I came to the wicket, and Syed Majid was at the crease, and he said to me, all you do is you just block. You know, you don't try and do anything fancy. I'll take on the bowling. So it wasn't the first time it was going to happen to me. So that's all I was going to do, block. And then Jack beat him, Jack Munnock beat him a couple of times, and then Jack chirped him. So I looked at Jack and I said, you actually, do you know what you do? This is like a legend of the game, and you're chirping him, you little light here. And So I just walked up to him, actually walked right up to him and said, right, this is now me and you, I'm going to take you apart, which he did. You know, and Jack finished with 7 for 90-odd, and we had a hell of a partnership. I scored one not that, and Masai just... But that was Jack, that's when I met Jack, and we eventually started playing together for Transvaal. He came to Western Province, we played here. I met him overseas a couple of times, played a couple of games with his club in Yorkshire League. So became very good friends.
No, fantastic. Now, you also gained selection for the end-of-season SACB team on a number of occasions as well. And that was a team chosen to play, I think, the Board's 11, the best of the season, and versus the Board's 11. That must have been a huge honour as well. You know, although you guys never had a country to play for, but that was an honour for you guys?
Yeah. So what they eventually did was the actual Our Bowl winners would play against South Africa and in a 4-day game. And they would then select, you know, at the end of the game, just do an announcement of the South African board side, cricket board side, which was, it was obviously a fantastic honour.
Fantastic. We're talking to Vinnie Barnes, the former Western Province fast bowler and batsman defender. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamualaikum, just gone 10 to 9, you're listening to Inside Sport. My guest tonight is the former Western Province fast bowler and batsman defender, Vidi Barnes. Vidi, I need to ask, are there any regrets knowing that you, like many other sportsmen and women who played under the SACOS banner, couldn't get a chance to play at the highest level?
Absolutely not. The important thing for me was, I sort of realized early in my career, both football and cricket, that it was never going to be playing for my country. So the important thing for me was to enjoy what I was doing, which I was. You know, sport basically became recreational. It's, you know, there's no goal of playing for your country. And but the important thing for me was to ensure that as a sportsman and as an influential sportsman is that I stuck to my principles and ensured that, you know, I was never going to play cricket or football on the other side. And but if the opportunity did come, you know, I would like to play a role in someone else playing, you know, for the country. And unfortunately now I can do it. So so that to me is I've got no regrets about what I did in my sporting career. I've enjoyed every minute of it. So many highlights. I mean, in fact, my whole sporting career is filled and it's full of highlights. And you know, I've got no regrets now.
You know, like you say, you know, obviously now you're playing a role in helping others come through the system, and I'm sure that must be a brilliant feeling for you. Now, following your retirement, you became a coach and a very successful one at that. Still involved, in charge of the SA Under-19s, SAA, assistant coach to Mickey Arthur, bowling coach for the Proteas. Must have been such a great pleasure working with the national players, knowing you played a part in the development of some of these guys that have come through now and are playing at that highest level.
Yeah, it's look, my coaching career has been just absolutely wonderful. I mean, there's obviously many times where I think, why am I doing this? And you know, it's also been fantastic. I mean, it was 9 years with the Proteas, which was, to me, was a fantastic 9 years, and I learned so much about the game itself, about people, about countries, about cultures, about myself. And that to me was quite important. And, you know, once I left the Proteas in 2011, I was fortunate to be given an opportunity to coach in the high performance structure, and continue to bring cricket through the structure, through our cricketing pipeline, and, which I'm still doing.
Well, just about to touch on that, you currently hold the post of CSA Bowling Lead and High Performance Manager. Tell us about the role of this current post.
So, the High Performance Manager, I've been for the past probably 9 years now. So, but it oversees all the cricket teams beneath the Proteas, from the Proteas all the way down to basically to franchise cricket. So the South African Under-19 National Academies, men and women, South African Under-19, women and men, South African A-side. All these teams now fall under the High Performance Program, and we just introduced a new structure now, which is fantastic. We got high quality coaches, and I've been asked to do the bowling again, so which is fantastic. I was doing a sort of I was doing it on an ad hoc basis, not really. But now it's my passion, and so I'm glad to be back in doing that again. And for the past couple of weeks now, I've been testing a number of bowlers around the country.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be getting busier now with the cricket season upon us as well. We just got a message here from your old teammate, Vinny Ian Southgate. He said, "Did Vinny say that he hates losing? Vinny has a big heart and a great team man. Also, must add, he knows where he came from. Salute to a fine sportsman. I'll take him to war if need be." So, you know, Ian, I must say, Ian is obviously, I think he was a great team player, a great teammate, because really only good comments about all you guys that played in the Batswood team. You know, we had Adib, we had Roger, so, and they've also said a lot of good things about Ian as well. So, look, Vidi Barnes, thank you very much for spending some time with me this evening. It was great chatting to you, and we look forward to having you maybe again soon in the studio. All the best to you.
Thanks very much for that.
That was Vincent Barnes chatting to us tonight, and I hope you enjoyed another edition of Inside Sport. I'll be back with more sporting news on the Drive Time from Monday to Friday from Ifiro Sheikh. Have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
My radio station, your radio station, our radio station, the Voice of the Cape.